on this episode of Still Loading. Woo! Hello all, and welcome to this episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode, I have invited Justin back.
Hey, what's going on?
And Justin, as per usual, you are here to talk with me about James Bond video games. You and I are both big James Bond fans. We have covered two games so far together, Agent Under Fire and GoldenEye with the No Geeks Allowed guys. Unfortunately, obviously, our schedules were pretty chaotic over the last couple of weeks, so we couldn't record another one, but don't worry, I got your back.
All right.
So, for this week, we are covering the classic, the universally not known game of 007, The Duel for the Sega Genesis. Actually, it might have been released for some other stuff. I didn't really look that up beforehand. When I was Googling it before, it said that it was also released for the Sega Master System, but I don't know. I'm going to Google that in the meantime. But so yeah, I decided to cover this game mainly because it's a relatively unknown Bond game. You had never played it before, right?
No, I think I may have sifted by it through an emulator, but yeah, it wasn't one that, like, when I was a kid, and this was when, like, Sega Genesis was, like, hot off the shelves.
And it was
like,
your life at that
exactly,
point.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I remember going to Blockbuster for, like, Jurassic Park and
Lion King, I still hate that
game. And, like, all other sorts of games, but never seen this one, like, on the shelves of Blockbuster or anything like that.
So the first thing I wanted to talk about, actually, before we dive into the gameplay itself, is in true Still Loading style, let's talk about the box art, which I haven't really done, now that I think about it, since the 40 for 40 series. So, which, oh my god, that ended, actually not that long ago, it ended in October, but it feels like it was forever ago. So, the box art has Timothy Dalton as James Bond holding up, I guess it's supposed to be a Walther PPK. I'm not a gun guy, so I can't tell the difference. It looks like the James Bond pistol that we're used to.
I was
going to
say, everything's a PP7 to me.
PP7. There's a, for all you Bond fans out there, I think I've plugged this show before. Not that they need it. They're much more popular than mine. But James Bonding is a great podcast all about the James Bond movie franchise. And every time they go to the bathroom, because they have like hour and a half, like 2 hour long recording sessions. Mm-hmm. But every time they have to pee, they take a Walther PPK break.
is that?
It's a PPK break. Well, the Walther PPK is his pistol that right, Bond uses. Yeah. It's a joke. It's a thing. But I actually like it. I love that podcast. It's probably in my top five, believe it or not.
Very nice.
So, Timothy Dalton holding the Walther PPK, and it just says, James Bond 007, The Duel. And actually, the developer name is almost as large as the title. It just says Dumark or Domark.
Yeah, whatever floats their boat.
I have no idea.
I mean, it's a huge O on it.
It's a giant O.
Dome!
It's like their O face?
Oh. No.
Make an Office Space reference there. And what's interesting about this, too, is that this was, in a weird sense, Timothy Dalton's last outing as James Bond, which is odd because he didn't act in it. It was just a video game that used his likeness.
Right, yeah.
But so, Dalton's last Bond movie came out in 1989, and it was License to Kill. This game came out 4 years later in 93, and, I mean, since Pierce Brosnan hadn't been selected as Bond, or at least wasn't announced, they used him as their likeness. And, yeah, the cover art is interesting enough, at least. But when you actually look at the game and like the title screen, the likeness in it is not that great. Mm-mm. It looks kind of smushed, is the best way I can describe it.
It looks much better on the box art. We'll leave it at that.
Well, I mean, the box art's an actual image. Their pixelated, like their pixel art version of his face is not really the greatest. To say the least.
Yeah.
So here, Justin, would you mind reading the back of the box? What is this game actually about? All right. What does the game think it's about, I should say?
You're no longer just watching James Bond on the big screen. You are Bond. Jumping into Fast and Furious action. What? Fast and Furious?
Oh, we're going to watch that later, I think. I'm a sucker for him.
A mad professor plots to take over the world on a remote Caribbean island. He knows you. The famous 007 are coming. Wait. Okay. Okay. All right.
I always like reading, like making people read the box, the description on the back for the first time, just to see what like, because it's always, one, it's hard to read on the spot, but two, some of it just is strange.
Yeah, I'm like, the way they phrase that, it seems like there's multiple of us coming, like the famous 007.
Well, no, because you are 007, so it's you and 007. You're working together. It's us. It's a team. You and Bond.
I'm controlling Bond.
You have a bond with Bond. That was probably my worst joke of all time.
It still worked.
I'm filing that as never.
He's ready for you. Hostages to service, human shields, hundreds of merciless guards, and a cloning machine that can bring all your old arch enemies back to life.
What? Which is no, it's true, because it makes sense. So, yeah. But they never like, so the game never really explains the story visually at all. There's just, you just kind of run through a level, and then the closest you get is that you see a map, and you see every time you beat a level, you move to the next section of the map on the screen. It's pretty much just an island. And every time, you didn't finish reading the back, did you?
Not yet, but
let's finish reading the back. Right. Then we'll talk about the gameplay, because I was about to dive head first in there.
All right, so to help you, Q has managed to plant special weapons all around the island. Your mission, James, is to rescue the hostages, survive increasingly tough levels against overwhelming odds, and stop the crazy professor. You've got the license to kill and to meet beautiful women.
Ooh. What a license that one for that.
Just don't forget to save the world.
So that is what the back of the box says. The thing that makes me actually cringe, one, is just that the weird spot to put James. It should be your mission, James. I get what it's saying, like, but the way it's, because it's your I think the punctuation is correct, but it says your mission, James, is to rescue the hostages. But the way it's like laid out in the box makes it really weird.
Yeah.
And then the other part is just, you got a license to kill and to meet beautiful women. Oh, Bond. I have the manual in front of me. And the way it actually gives a little bit more insight into the story. So it says, you are James Bond, the world's greatest secret agent. In 007's biggest challenge yet, you must face all of your old adversaries in a race to save the world. Mad Professor Gravemar has attacked a top secret international satellite launch center on a remote Caribbean island. Did they say that on the back? It says Caribbean island, but yes.
It just said a mad professor.
Okay, so we know Gravemar, and he's hijacked the satellite launch center. Okay. Holding hostages as human shields, and he plans to launch the deadly satellites into space as on a shuttle and use them to take over the world. Your mission is to rescue the hostages and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so the whole premise of the gameplay is that every level you have a certain number of hostages to save, which consists of you just running up to a beautiful woman and she goes, woo! And then once you rescue them all, you find some dynamite and trigger it and you run out before the timer goes out. And that's the game.
Yep.
That's the whole game. Just rinse, wash, and repeat.
I mean, just the basic premise of it really reminded me of Michael Jackson's Moonwalker.
It did a little bit, actually. You're right. Instead, that game, you know, in retrospect, doesn't. I'm not talking about the gameplay thing, but you know, especially now that documentary, you know, Neverland or whatever, you know, I forget what it's called, but basically, kind of exposing that he could have possibly been a child molester. I can't speak. I mean, I didn't watch it, but that's what I heard. I heard it was pretty damning. And the whole point of that game is about Michael Jackson saving children and running up to touch them to save them. Okay, I put monkey. A little. Was there a monkey in it?
Yeah.
Was there really?
Yeah.
We should review that game sometime.
It's It's definitely a good one to review.
I would definitely do that. So no, you go around, rescue everyone, and the only cool thing I would say about the whole setup of the game is that you fight James Bond villains at the end of each level. Mm-hmm. At the end of the first level, you actually fight Jaws. At the end of the second level, you fight Baron Samedi from Live and Let Die. And so for those who don't know, Jaws, the first boss, he is from the movies. I was about to say View to Kill. That's the wrong one. The Spy Who Loved Me and Moonraker. Baron Samedi, the second boss, is from Live and Let Die, like I said. The third boss is Mayday. She is from A View to a Kill. The fourth boss is Oddjob from Goldfinger. And then you fight the professor, the mad professor, Professor Gravemar. I almost forgot his name there. And what's weird, though, is the final boss is Jaws in a spaceship. Because it's Jaws. He never dies. Dude, isn't it a bummer that... So the guy who played Jaws, his name is Richard Kyle, or Keel, Kyle? I think Kyle. Mm-hmm. He passed away somewhat recently, like a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, for those who haven't seen any Bond movies, Richard Kyle, like I said, played the villain Jaws, or the henchman, I guess. He wasn't like a main villain, but mm-hmm. he was a side villain. For people probably our age would probably know him best as the dude, as Happy Gilmore's old boss in Happy Gilmore. I can't remember what his name is, but he's the dude with the nail in his head.
That's right. Oh my gosh.
That was Richard Kyle. He was apparently a super friendly, lovable, like giant of a man. And him and Roger Moore, apparently, Roger Moore played Bond in those movies. Him and Roger Moore had a friendship for a good number of years after that movie came out. Wow. So, which is kind of cool. I love watching him. It's that like he's bizarrely charming for how he's not a good actor.
No.
But at the same time, the role, I mean, I take that back. I don't know if he's not a good actor or not, but the role definitely didn't help. That's for damn sure. It was not, there was not a lot for him to do. Right. So what was your impressions of the game though? Like, talk about the controls, talk about, we just talked about the concept really, like what the objective of each level is. But for you personally, when you play, because I own the game, so we tried it out. What did you like? What was it like for you? How did it feel?
It actually wasn't too bad. I mean, the controls themselves were, like I was a little bit delayed, like when you jumped or ducked. It wasn't crisp. Like
it felt very floaty.
Yeah. Right? Like even your jumps in general were like real floaty. Like it was almost like, James Bond like a ninja or a secret agent?
It kind of reminded me of, because he flips for all of his jumps.
He does front flips randomly. So like, I'm gonna flip here. Woo.
Every like the long jumps are this just crazy flip. The animation for everything was bizarrely smooth too, like really good animation for everything. It felt almost modern in a sense, and the animation specifically because it was so crisp. The visuals were fine. They're very bright.
Yes, very vibrant.
But Bond himself was very plain looking.
Yes.
Which actually kind of worked, though, because the visuals were so detailed and bright, and Bond was so plain, he stuck out on the on the busy background. So it kind of worked out, I think.
Right, yeah. And I mean, it like, for what it is, it like, the concept's nice. Nothing too elaborate or anything. There wasn't anything that, like, just watching through the game, like, that really blew my mind, like, whoa, that was such a cool idea or anything like that. But
yeah,
it was just, it's one of those games that gets its replay value of you just kind of figuring out what the best route is. And
it's made for speedrunning, pretty much.
Like, yeah,
we were joking on off mic beforehand that, like, for those who don't watch Games Done Quick, you definitely should for when they do their next round. Games Done Quick, it's a speedrunning charity event. You know, gamers beat the game as fast as they can and raise a lot of money for charity. What was it? They have Awesome Games Done Quick in the winter, Summer Games Done Quick in the summer, and AGDQ from this past year, the winter one, didn't they raise like almost $2 million or something?
They surpassed
$2 million.
And it was the cool, like, you know, you're watching people speed run, you're raising money for charity. It's cool, but it's the camaraderie.
Yes, there you go. That's the English word. Delivery. I was going to speak the camaraderie. Yeah.
Yes. but
Go on.
Yeah, just like that fellowship you get with everyone involved in the whole situation, because they have the Twitch chat going. The people on the couch, like, doing the commentary are usually looking at the stream going on from Twitch. So they'll plug in, like, oh, this person said this, or, hey, what, like, the coolest thing I saw when they surpassed 2 million was it was, like, at 1.8 million or something around there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing a Super Mario Odyssey speedrun.
Yeah.
And that's like 3 hours or so.
Because they were getting like all, I think they were going to the darker side of the moon. So it's like you had to get 500, they had to collect 500 moons to hit it or something like that.
Right, yeah. And Twitch chat was just like, yo, we need to surpass 2 million before this is over. So they just like kept doing the donation train thing. It's like everyone just pitch in like a dollar or two.
Like a $10 donation train, and just literally, because the thing is, like, I know we're off topic, but Games Done Quick is such an amazing event. Yeah. And they basically, like, they bring in a lot of people for Twitch. It's not like Ninja number, like, you know, the streamer Ninja who gets like millions of viewers. But for a speedrunning event, which is generally not like, it doesn't have like Fortnite or Apex Legends or anything like that, so it doesn't really have any of the popular games. It garners like 300,000 like viewers like consistently throughout the week. Like it's a lot of viewers,
right? And it's hilarious because like depending on what game they're playing, because they'll go from like just release to, you know, like Nintendo games.
Yeah.
But whatever game they're happening to play at that time will be like number one on the Twitch stream.
Yeah. So. And it could be the most obscure game. They have a bad games block where you would see, like, I remember one year they did Animorphs, the Game Boy game.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was ridiculous. But anyway, to get back to what we were saying, yeah, we would want to speedrun this game, the 007, the dual game, on here, and Justin here can play bass. And this soundtrack has a funky bass line, yeah, and it's a fucking great soundtrack,
so
too.
Good.
I'm going, like, my end songs are usually, music from Game Chops, one of my personal favorite game remix labels. I'm going to put I'm going to put one of the songs from this game at the end of it. It's so good. I really think you're all going to like it. So at the end of the episode, keep an ear out for it. I really think you'll dig it.
Honestly, we should just have the soundtrack playing through this.
I know, right?
It's so good.
Well, I want to figure out how to speed run this game, have you standing in the background and making a donation incentive,
yes,
to just have you play the bass line, the whole soundtrack,
super funky,
for each level as I'm going on, almost like Bit Brigade.
Yeah.
Another shout out. They have no idea who I am, but Bit Brigade, I hate trying to say their name just because it's like so alliterative, yes, and it's a tongue twister, but Bit Brigade is like a hard rock, almost metal band, where what they do is they speedrun video games live on stage, and instead of you hearing the game audio, they play all the game audio for you in like a hard rock style. It's really good.
Really cool.
But no, so I would want to do this. I seriously am tempted to do this for Games Done Quick. And we watched a long play of it because we couldn't get past the first level. It's fucking hard.
Yeah.
But it was only like a 20-minute game, and I'm sure there's ways that we could speed that up and figure it out. And I'm sure there's got to be a community for this thing already.
I'm sure it might not be a large community, but it is, I'm sure, a community. There is one, exactly.
And that's the thing, to like, one of the weird things with the movement tech on it, though, is just, it's so, well, I said before, it's floaty, but it doesn't quite cover. Like, you let go of your movement button and Bond keeps sliding a little bit further.
Right.
The jumps always feel like they either are too, like, you'll hit the button and you're not, like, he doesn't jump as long as you expect him to. He doesn't stay in the air as long as you expect him to. Or it has the opposite thing where he stays in the air longer than you expect him to. And so you can never quite get comfortable with the game. I don't know. The controls you feel like you're fighting controls even once you understand them.
Exactly. But, I mean, despite all that, the game kind of has, like, a little bit of a charm to it, I would say.
I definitely would.
And I think part of it, too, is, like, I mean, the game publisher, Domark, whatever, I mean, they're not a AAA license.
There's only four people that worked on this game, from what we saw on Wikipedia.
Yep, and I mean, on the title screen itself, it says programmed by Kepmoon the Kamlin. With a little Soviet, with a little Soviet sign.
Oh, it's the Kremlin, not the Kamlin. So it's something in the the Kremlin. That's really strange.
Yeah, I was like, what?
That's really, really strange. Let's see what it was. Yeah, so it was. Oh, sorry. It was. Oh, so the publisher on the bottom. I'm just reading this now. The publisher was Domark, not the developer. The developer was the Kremlin. That's just the name of the developer. Just the Kremlin. All
right.
Yeah, and that's so weird. Okay, so that's nuts. No, it's even more nuts. So the Sega Master, what the hell is the Sega? Oh, that's the rating. So the publication Sega Master Force, I was getting confused. I thought it was like a weird version of the Sega Master System. Like, how have I never heard this? But no, the Sega Master Force, which I guess was some sort of publication at one point in time, gave this game an 84%, apparently, which is pretty high.
Yeah, that is.
I'm actually looking at, I actually just looked it up. Sega Force Mega. That's a great name, actually. Oh, so sorry. Sega Master Force was aimed at the younger market. Okay, so this is just, it was, the whole thing was the Sega Force magazine. So it was the Sega Force magazine, like, franchise, for lack of a better word. So you have Sega Force, or Sega Master Force is aimed for younger gamers, and then you have the Sega Force Mega, which just rolls off your tongue, is meant for grown-up games. Like, apparently one of the last article, like, this article from 1993 was for The Last Action Hero.
Yo, and, that is, fuck and, that game.
And the picture they have of Arnold on this little clip is, it does not look like Arnold.
No.
It does not look anything like Arnold. We're getting way off topic.
Yo, we need to review that game sometime, because fuck that game. I hate that game.
I'm excited to see you rage about this then. So, I don't know what else is there really to say though. We've talked about how the controls, we talked about the objectives of the game, we talked about the cool, like, Bond crossovers with all the different bosses and other things. The music is
fantastic. Music is rock.
We were jamming the entire time we were playing
it. Yeah, my head was popping the whole time.
Oh, it was so good. So the music is just fucking awesome. Is there any, like, final thoughts you have on this? Like, I don't know what else to really say about it.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's not a lot of substance to the game. The game really gets its, like, value from just, it blends a real nice balance between being difficult to the point where you, like, you don't want to quite smash your controller, but it's not like a walk in the park either. So it's like, you get to a point where it's like, oh man, I almost had it. I want to keep going, instead of just throwing your controller at the TV and walking away.
And you never really feel like you failing is the game's fault. Like, the game isn't being unfair. You just, like, you understand the game's mechanics regardless of how meh they are.
Right.
Yeah. But the game is designed almost around it in the sense that you are in control enough where if you fuck up, then it's you fuck up. Like, you're not gonna die because the game is unfair. You're gonna die because you mistimed something.
Exactly. Or you're just like, oh, you didn't notice a platform down there, or like little things like that that you're like, ah, I'll remember that for next time.
I will say my final thought is something I wanted to bring up before and I just remembered until now. This game has the best sound effects in the world. So not only do you have that crazy woo sound from rescuing your hostages.
The beautiful hostages.
But every time Bond runs down steps, it sounds like machine gun just blasting up. Oh shit, I hope that wasn't too loud. I hope I wasn't peeking that too bad. It doesn't look like it. But it's insane sounding. I don't know how, I can't describe it. Go find like a YouTube video of it, and when you watch Bond run down the steps, it's the most insane sounding, like, because a lot, like, at least when you hear another you know, character, like, video game sound effects for going downstairs, you hear like a da-da-da-da-da-da-da. This just sounds like a machine gun. Like, it's the same volume for every single step, so it's just and it's insane. I love it so much.
Right, and there's like 100 steps and like a small little slope, so I guess the sound effect just plays for every little one.
And it's the same sound going downstairs as it is upstairs, so it doesn't make any bit of difference.
And like, when you're jump just in general, when you land, it's like a fucking tank hits the ground. It's like,
oh my God. It almost feel like Bond's knees are shattering every single time he's landing. And like when he's running up the stairs, it almost feels like his ankles are just giving way the whole way up.
Who needs knees anyway?
No knees, ankles, and toes. I don't know. That was another bad joke. File that one away. But all right. So, do you have any last thoughts before we kind of give some wrap ups? I feel like I kind of asked that, but like just one sentence or less.
One sentence or less.
So a sentence or a statement, pretty much.
That was my statement.
There we go.
If anything, I felt like the programmers really. They really wanted to do well for this game with limited assets. They probably weren't funded that much, but you could tell it meant a lot to them, I feel like.
I want to look up more about this Kremlin developer.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen them
There's no Wikipedia
somewhere.
Link for them. They just don't exist. Ugh. It's a mystery. It's the Russians. They're hacking our old game consoles.
Oh, no. Every time we play it.
I guess for my final thought is it's worth a play. It's fun enough that it's worth like, and it, for you collectors out there, it's not an expensive game to get. Yeah. And if you like James Bond, it's a worthwhile game only for the sense that it's like competent, not good in any way, shape or form, It's a game. It's not like you'll play it and be like, well, that's not bad, but you're like, it doesn't really do anything. At least that's how I experienced it.
I feel like it would be an interesting game to play buzzed.
Oh my God, yeah. Imagine getting a bunch of drunk people and hearing that sound effect for the first time. Yeah, like for people who never played it before. That'd be great. So, all right. To wrap this all up, guys, thank you all for listening. And if you like this episode, please consider supporting the show by either subscribing to the show on whatever podcasting device you use, or also just please give a rating and review on it. I'd love to hear some feedback from you. If you'd also like to support the show, another way you can do it, you can check out our sponsor. Well, not my sponsor personally, but the network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. We are sponsored by SeatGiant. SeatGiant is a ticket selling website where you can get tickets for your favorite concerts, your favorite sporting events, your favorite shows, musicals, and whatnot. Go check them out. They have fantastic prices. I have personally used them and can say that I got a great deal on my tickets to see a local hockey team of mine, specifically the AHL affiliate of our Philadelphia Flyers.
Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
The Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
And those seats were awesome.
They were. I forgot I took you. Yeah.
The seats were so good, he forgot who he was with.
I know. And if you use the promo code PODBEARD, that's PODBEARD, PODBEARD at checkout, you'll save a little bit extra on top of that. So go check that all out. And
scruffy beards.
So Justin, would you like to plug anything? Any shout outs? Is there anything you want to shout out? Anything you want to plug for yourself?
Nah, man. Just check out this awesome network. I've met a couple of the guys like No Geeks Allowed.
Well, they're not on the network, but they're good friends.
Well, they're
of the network.
Associated with
they
the network
are very
in some
associated.
Way. 6 degrees to the Podbeard network. Yeah,
6 degrees of the Podbeard. But no,
but no, these guys are great. I met a couple of them, I think. And
You did for the No Geeks Allowed. Yeah. For the GoldenEye episode. Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of the Podbeard Network is actually pretty far away from where I'm at. They're all up in Canada.
Oh, okay.
Right, so we got a bunch of Canadian friends.
The land of maple syrup.
the true north. So go check out all the great shows on the Podbeard Network. You can actually check out that full list of them on the podbeardnetwork.com. I normally list them all, but that adds even more length to my shout outs, which I already have a decent amount. So other shout outs to my friend Erica over the Apex of the Abyss. And we mentioned another podcast that's great. We mentioned them before, the Geeks over at No Geeks Allowed. That's KNOW, No Geeks Allowed. You can also check out the Drinks with Larry crew, a fantastic comedy podcast that I definitely recommend. Also check out my buddy, whose name is also Josh, over at Firespin Gaming on YouTube. He does game hunting videos and he finds some legit fantastic stuff. So go check out his channel. And that should do it, I think. I think I got it all. I always forget shout-outs. So I apologize to anyone who... If I forgot to give you a shout-out, just let me know. Even if I don't know. Even if I don't know you, just tell me I forgot. But no. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.
Woo!